Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Oh, it was always a scary time when the grades came out because I wasn't really that great of a student. And sometimes the teachers would make us take our report cards home to our parents and have them sign them and then bring them back so that we didn't, you know, succumb to the temptation to hide our grades from the teacher. I didn't have a podcast like The Way of Manhood, where Adam Tyson is breaking down how young men ought to be living for the Lord. I mean, there really weren't podcasts like that when I was growing up, but that's a good one. If you are in that category like I was, that would be a great podcast for you to include in your listening library. But I didn't do very well in school. I did better and better as I got more serious about the Lord and more focused on ministry. I was not so great in high school. My attitude was kind of, why should I work for an A when I could coast and get a B and still play with my friends? And if I got a C, it doesn't matter too much. Oh, I just was not very motivated. I just wanted to play. And then I got saved. And then college just worked for me. The schedule, everything, it just worked a lot better. So my grades improved in college, and that's where I got focused on ministry more. And when I got to seminary, I had a lot better study habits. But we have been talking about the church report card, not just the educational report card, but the church report card. And I think too often pastors and churches are judged by unbiblical criteria. And so we've been kind of searching the scriptures to see what God says. What are the priorities God has for churches and pastors to be judged by? And if you have the right criteria, then, you know, what's your grade? You know, how are you doing as a pastor? How are you doing as a church leader? How is your church doing in getting these grades right? Remember, the pastoral epistles were not just for the pastors, Timothy and Titus. The churches were supposed to read over their shoulders. I remember thinking, well, I'd like to preach one of these books, but I know it'll be just for me. But then once I got into it, it's like, no, this is a great book to preach because this tells the churches how they are to respond to pastoral ministry. So it's a great thing and a great way for us to really get the heart of the Lord. What are His criteria for grading for you and for a church? Well, we've considered several already, but we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3 today, and we want to start with qualified church leaders, okay? And by this, we're talking about elders and deacons. And I say that because elders' qualifications are in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and then the deacons come in at verse 8 and go all the way through verse 13. Now, what do most churches, I don't want to say most, that's not fair. What do some churches, even some churches where the gospel would be preached, what are they looking for when they're looking for elders and deacons? Well, hopefully they're right here. Their nose is right in 1 Timothy 3. Looking for these men of godly character. And really, the godly character goes for both the elders and the deacons. And it's not necessarily off the charts. Like, these qualifications, I remember hearing D.A. Carson, Don Carson, once saying, the most extraordinary thing about elder qualifications are that they're not extraordinary. They're pretty ordinary, right? So it says, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, you know, basically a one-woman man, a man with sexual integrity, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. All right, he goes on. And like I said, the qualifications for deacon in terms of character come out awfully close to elders. Elders have to be able to teach. And according to Titus, they just have to know the Bible so well that they can communicate the truth and refute those who contradict it. So that's really important. A deacon is still required to, when it talks about doctrine, he needs to be blameless, dignified, and managing children in households well. But they're also holding to the mystery of the faith. There it is in verse 9, with a clear conscience. So the deacons have to know the book too, but not at the same level as an elder. An elder needs to be able to teach God's word, whether it be individually, whether it be to big groups, but they also need to know when error creeps in, when the wolves creep in, so that they have the ability to correct it. We've said that the first grade a church is going to get is, are they guarding against false teachings and false teachers? I mean, that's so important. Well, you've got to have elders who are equipped to make those kinds of decisions. And knowing the Bible, knowing how the Bible fits together, and then living it out, that's huge, right? So I asked you, what are the ways that they pick their leaders? Well, is it the people who are most successful in the business world, right? The people that drive the fancy cars, or they lead big corporations? It doesn't really matter, you know, that to some, how well they know the Bible. Or are they people of impeccable integrity? Again, not perfection, but are there glaring character qualities in their lives that are going against these standards? In other words, bad character qualities that people could point the finger at. And I use that expression, point the finger, because the first qualification is that an elder would be above reproach. And that's also shows up in Titus as well. Titus chapter 1, the other list of elder qualifications, also includes above reproach. What that means is there's a little bit of subjectivity. In the eyes of the congregation where you're serving, do you have glaring character flaws? And if so, then you can't be a leader. Or I should say, you can't be a leader in a church that gets a good grade from the Lord, because this is what the Lord cares so much about. That's why he spells it out in such detail. This is what elders must be like. This is what deacons must be like. They've got to be consistent in their godly character. And if they have one of these areas that's a glaring weakness, they got to get some work. And they got to, do work, whether it be stepping down from leadership or getting some discipleship, some counseling before stepping into that role. I mean, obviously, if you were not self-controlled in some glaring way, that would be a really big deal. We want the church to be able to say, yeah, these are models of godly ministry and godly life, because they're the ones to lead. And of course, the Bible has a very high premium that Christian leaders are to lead out of the overflow of their godly lives and integrity. And so if your church is to get a good grade on the Lord's church report card, it's going to really be important for that church to have qualified elders and qualified deacons, qualified by the standards of 1 Timothy chapter 3. All right, let's go on. What's another criteria that the Lord will use as he is grading your church? Is your church a pillar and buttress of the truth? The very end of chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, in verse 14 and 15, he says, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. If the Lord is to give you an A in your church, you better be about the truth. You better not be a church known for just chasing fads. You need to be a church that's all about the book. We know the book, the Bible. We love it, and we teach it and teach it and teach it. He's going to tell Timothy in chapter 4, verse 11, command and teach these things. This is huge. And of course, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. So we have to be churches that love the Bible and teach the Bible. They're not just going by the latest trends, the latest, here's what people want, or here's what people are talking about, and so I'm going to make the church all about that. No, is your church about the book, the Bible? And if so, then may it be that the Lord would give you an A for being faithful to the truth. All right, we've got some more criteria to consider after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Crotz in just a moment. Dr. Crotz today is asking how God actually grades churches. And most of us have been using the wrong rubric entirely because we evaluate churches like we're shopping for country clubs, you know, nice facilities and nice foyers and good programs. But Paul's instructions to Timothy shows that God cares about completely different things. The first question on God's report card, are your leaders biblically qualified? Not are they successful businessmen or smooth talkers, but do they meet the character requirements of 1 Timothy 3? Dr. Crotz said that D.A. Carson once said the most extraordinary thing about elder qualifications is that they're not extraordinary. Most churches pick leaders based on who drives the nicest cars or runs the biggest company, but God's looking for men who are above reproach, who are self-controlled, who are hospitable, able to teach, honest, peaceable. And that difference matters because leaders shape everything about a church's health. And something that can help you shape your spiritual health, I think that was a good segue. I'm talking about Fortis Plus. It is packed with hundreds of hours of content from voices like Dr. Crotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Greg Gifford, Adam Tyson, Libby Glosson, and Todd Friel. And they're creating content about biblical leadership and theology and marriage and parenting, biblical manhood, biblical womanhood. It's content that helps you evaluate ministry biblically instead of pragmatically. We're adding new content every single day. It's not static content that sits there. It is being added to and increased every day. And it is absolutely free of charge. More about that in a moment. But first, I've got to tell you how to get to this content. You can go to the App Store where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and you can download it right now because it is free, as I said. And the reason that it's free is because of men and women just like you all over the world who have been listening to Fortis Institute and have been impacted by the content that we're creating so much that they wanted to stand with us and join us so that this content can get in the hands of more people in more places all over the world. And maybe that is you. If it is, we would be honored to lock arms with you. Now, to get all the details about how you might be able to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, all you have to do is go to fortisinstitute.org right now to get those details. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Crotz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now, back to your host, Dr. John Crotz.
Welcome back. We've been talking about the church report card, and we're going to give you some more criteria for how the Lord will grade your church. Right? Not just the way a lot of people get grades or a lot of people evaluate whether a church is healthy and strong or not, but what does the Lord say in the Bible? Well, another way that the Lord uses or another standard in his criteria for the church is training for godliness. And I'm getting this from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. If you would put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. All right, so Paul is specifically addressing Timothy. Timothy, here's what you need to be about as a good servant of Christ Jesus. You're trained in the words of the faith. You don't chase after old wives' tales. Instead, you are training yourself for godliness. And people have made a big deal about how the Greek word for training yourself is where we get our word gymnasium. So it's almost like he's saying gymnasticize yourself for godliness, right? Bodily training is great, but it's of little value compared to godliness, which has value not only for this life, but also for the life to come. Godliness is where it's at, Timothy. But again, Timothy's wanting the church to be reading over, or Paul's wanting the church in Ephesus to be reading over Timothy's shoulder in this. Yes, if the church leaders are called to discipline themselves for the purpose of godliness, exercising spiritual disciplines, then how much more should all of the church be about spiritual disciplines for godliness? I mean, does your church know about books like Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Don Whitney, Disciplines for a Godly Man by Kent Hughes, or David Mathis's book, Habits of Grace? That's another great one, very simple and clear on keeping the main things the main things. We need to be disciplined in our Christian life. So again, when people think about churches, are they thinking, all right, if this is a church where spiritual disciplines are highlighted and they come up in the conversation from the pulpit and among the people, that's a church that the Lord is giving a good grade. But if spiritual disciplines is not where this church is at, and they're judging based on the quality of the music or the performance or this or that or the other, that's not the right measurements, right? You can't get the right result if you don't know how you're supposed to be measuring, okay? That just made me think of driving in Europe or another country where everything is in kilometers. And in America, we're used to miles. And so you're continuously having to do math in your mind until you get used to another way of measuring, right? But if you're using a different measuring standard, you're not going to really know the right answer. And so we keep coming back to this question, how is the Lord going to be grading the church? Well, we need to know his standards, and we've been searching out 1 Timothy for starters to see if we could figure some of these things out. Okay, another criteria for our church report card is integrity in relationships. Look at chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Treat younger men like brothers, older women like mothers, younger women like sisters in all purity. All right, how's it going in the household relationships among the church members? That's really important. In fact, Paul's going to spend a lot of time with Titus in Titus chapter 2, really discussing, okay, here's how you need to be instructing the older men. Here's how you need to be instructing the older women. And in fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to help older women to teach younger women. We can look at it. It's just a couple of pages over from 1 Timothy, Titus chapter 2. That section I was quoting in verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And then he's going to give some instructions for younger men as well, which Titus himself would qualify as a younger man in Paul's economy here. So how are the relationships? Is there integrity going on in the relationships in the church? Again, I'm not sure that that would be high on a lot of people's lists of things that they would be giving out grades for in the church. But if we're not taking these roles seriously, that would be a very big deal to Paul as he's instructing both Timothy and Titus that, yes, in my mind, this is huge. And because, again, Paul's the inspired author of this, you know, word that's included in the Bible, we know this is the Lord's mind. This is the Lord's criteria for our churches. Okay, another one that may be a big surprise. I know it's not one I might think of right away if I wasn't walking straight through 1 Timothy, is how supportive is the church of widows? And this goes all the way from chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, verse 3, way down all the way to verse 16. That's a lot of real estate where he's talking about honoring widows who are truly widows. Okay, so there are very specific guidelines that Paul gives Timothy. And he basically says, hey, if it's a younger widow, she should remarry. She should pursue that, right? Or if there is family members who can take care of the widow, that's really a big deal. But if not, then the church needs to step in, right? There's that great word in here about the family taking care of its own and showing return to parents. And that's great because, as he says in verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. All right, so that's huge, right? And so, but if there's no family around, does the church step in? Does the church engage with widows, or are widows just pushed aside? Well, that's you know, get your grades out. You know, how does your church, what grade are they getting on that? Again, there's a lot of qualifications in there. And I know people's situations are different, but if someone does qualify and the church refuses to step in and to intervene and to assist, then that's not going to be a good mark for that church. And the last chapter of 1 Timothy 6 gives us another criterion for which, by which the Lord will judge our church report card. And it's, are we pursuing contentment and generosity? So you've got those dual things going on. Contentment is huge, right? Godliness with contentment is great gain. This is the right thing. Don't be chasing money. But instead, if you're rich, then you should be generous and to share with others. Don't put your hope on the uncertainty of riches. Well, it is a rich blessing that you can be with us for our times together in Integrated. And I would ask you again, if you would please give us a rating and review and pass this episode on to someone else. And we don't just want to learn these things and go, oh, that's nice. Wouldn't it be nice for us to get a better report card? That's what I needed to say as a kid growing up in school, didn't I? Wouldn't it be nice if I got a better report card? But no, we need to, as James 1 tells us so clearly, be doers of God's word. So let's put these truths into action.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.